Pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost, then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, last Saturday in Louisiana, the $150,000 treasure chest stakes was won by Class Included, a 5-year-old mare by Include, bred in Kentucky by Michael and Amy Fuhrborn. Class Included won by 6 lengths over Livy McKenzie, a daughter of Macho Uno, and Julia Deer. She's by Congrats to boost her earnings to more than $507,000. Class Included has won 11 of her 22 starts, 9 stakes, including the Grade 3 Ballerina, and has been second 7 times. She's a typical Include. Include has compiled a remarkable record at stud. He has sired 5 Grade 1 stakes winners, and another 13 have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 18 Grade 1 performers. So if you want to compete at the highest level, and you want a sire standing for a modest stud fee, look to Include at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Include stands for $12,500 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and we are here in the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center on the Paris-Lexington Road. And it's a beautiful, gorgeous day. And did you see that sunset this morning?
Sunrise.
Well, what the hell? Up or down, I don't know.
You have to look out back to see the sunrise. It's out front.
Well, anyway,
we're celebrating Dutcher's birthday.
Yeah, Dutcher is 3 years old.
And
yesterday.
Yes.
And brought him a little present that we bought at Quill and Tack Farm.
Yes.
And a nice little book.
He looked at the card I made, and I made Dutcher. I made faces out of his name, and he said, "We need to put that in the mailbox."
He wants to get rid of it?
I don't know.
Send it to somebody, huh?
We got him a little book, and he's already opened it. He kissed the little donkey pit face on that. I thought that was cute.
Yeah. That's from down in Quill and Tack that I bought that.
Yeah.
And they
nice.
Had several nice little books for kids that age, you know.
Yeah.
Books are very important anymore.
Yes, they are.
You know, because all these young kids, they want to watch TV and get on their phones and all that stuff, and they'd be better off reading.
Yeah.
You know, because you just learn so much more that way.
Yeah.
You know, you learn the language and words.
And words are important.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Well, what are we going to do today? Michael Blowen's coming in. Doc couldn't make it. He had too big a Thanksgiving. I think he got cast in bed.
I almost did that myself.
You and me, I couldn't eat breakfast yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I tell you.
Cook like a crazy person and eat like a... I don't know what. And then you don't even want to look at it anymore.
I was afraid to get on the scales. I didn't gain but 2 pounds.
I gained 1.6.
Yeah.
But that'll, you know, that's nothing.
Yeah, we can get rid of that.
It's washing it down with Bailey's what is it? Eggnog. Woo, that's good eggnog.
I'll be glad when that's gone, too.
Yeah. Woo.
I'm sure it's how many calories in that stuff.
That's pretty high caloric count. Yes, sir.
Well,
it's good.
I washed mine down with bourbon.
There you go.
Well, I don't know, but Matt Howard's here, and he said he washes his down with bourbon. So
oof.
I don't know how many calories in a shot of bourbon.
I don't either, but you don't care when you eat
that. Well, we had a pretty good week since last week's show. From the Thoroughbred Center, winners are Paul Garcia, Saddle One and Mountaineer. So did Tanya Lobseger, Karen Vecchio. Karen ships in. She's from down in Bourbon County, Jackie, and I've never met her.
Huh.
And Susie knows her. She's met her, but she comes in here usually late and pulls a trailer in and works a horse and then goes home. I think she lives on Harpinus. I don't know if it's Harpinus or Hume Bedford.
Hume Bedford, yeah, okay. I think part of Harpinus is in Fayette, maybe all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Hume Bedford's Bourbon County.
Yeah, it's Hume Bedford. Yeah, it's that she lives on. According to, anyway, Louis Serrato won at Churchill Downs with Seamstress. And then yesterday, Wayne Mackey won one at Churchill Downs with Knight's Vision. Wayne has trained two Kentucky Oaks winners out here. You know, he got them started for Burry Jones.
Yeah, that's great.
By his good stallions down there. And Mike Estes had a winner at Mountaineer last night. That was Curmudgeon. And he won a starter allowance going 2 1/8 miles at Turfway. I mean, at
Churchill.
At Mountaineer.
Oh, okay.
And that horse was bred by the University of Kentucky. So we may not have a winner today, but they had one yesterday.
There you go. Go Cats.
Go Cats. Go Curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Put them in a winner's circle there. As I said, Michael's going to come in. I don't have a guest today. I just going to, it was Thanksgiving and everything. I just didn't bother anybody. So we're just going to do some bunch of history in the second hour. I was telling, Matt Howard here a minute ago. I think I was Matt I was telling. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to do something on Devil Diver. I found something that, from American Racehorses in 1945 that, Joe, Palmer had written, and it's really, really good. So we're going to
read
that.
Joe Palmer, if you found his grocery list, would be good.
Probably true.
I mean, he doesn't put a pen to anything that isn't wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, you want to do some announcement to start out?
Sure.
And then we'll proceed from there.
All right. Things sure slow down this time of year. It's the 30th. Let's see. Of course, Southern Lights are on. So they're open through December 31st. They're closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It's $15 a car. All the people you can cram in a car, that's fine.
Well, if you take a bus, you got it made. Huh?
Yeah, but anything bigger than that, you're going to pay more. If you take a bus, it costs more. That sort of thing. But they got new Wizard of Oz stuff, which I guess kids like.
What's that got to do with Christmas?
Well, it's, I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Christmas, you mean? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, does it?
No.
It's just, I guess, we haven't done those.
They ran out of ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, kids like that stuff, you know. Their gift shop is having a holiday open house December 6th and 7th. That would be next weekend from 9 to 5. They're open. And if today is the 30th, this is the second day of Spirit of the Horse at Alltech Arena. That's kind of dressage-y, circus-y, happy stuff like that. It's real nice for kids. And let's see. Mounted Police or Lexington Mounted Police are looking for horses. They have to be geldings. Oh, thank you for the hug, don't you? What a sweetheart. They like geldings. They have to be 16-2 or better, and they like draft crosses. So they want 3-year-olds to 12-year-olds. Contact Officer Dave Johnson if you got something that you think might fit. djohnson@lexingtonky.gov.
That's a cute kid, doesn't
he? Oh, he is adorable.
3 years old yesterday.
Okay, Monet Mary with Rerun has Christmas auction on eBay featuring Storm Cat's last Monet and his progeny's Monets. Also, they have a really nice calendar. She gave us one, and it has paintings. Each month has a different painting by a famous horse, racehorse, who has done the stuff. And it's just real nice. We enjoy getting that. And you need to go Monets or Moneighs. And if you go hunting on eBay, you can even go to Google first and find out about them. And then you can go to eBay and bid on one. Now, people are gearing up or gearing down, depends on if you ride a lot in the winter. But Sally Van is a good place to stop, and they make sure everything's in order before it gets cold. Trailers, vans, and diesels. And you want to do that because you don't want anything breaking down while you're going somewhere.
Susie, Jamie Bruin's hollering at you.
Speaking of broken down, there's Jamie Bruin.
A beard and all.
Beard and all. He's scary looking in winter.
He grows a beard.
Yeah.
When I had a hip replacement, they kept me in there longer than they should have. You know, I was in there darn near a week, wasn't I? And
I don't think so.
I couldn't shave.
I think it was 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. And I couldn't shave anyway.
It gets longer the longer.
I was looking really scroungy, and I looked in the mirror when I finally got up there, and I said, my God, I look like Jamie Bruin.
And I'm sure you told him what you said.
Absolutely, I told
him. Absolutely. Well, this coming up is the 24th Annual Select Stallion Season Auction by Thoroughbred Charities America. It is Saturday, January 4th, 6:30 at the Keeneland Entertainment Center. You can also bid on the telephone for these. What they do is they get a lot of really nice stallion seasons, and they auction them.
They usually give you a list of them. Maybe they haven't finished compiling them yet.
Ooh, right.
Keep up with it.
But they got a lot of really nice sponsors, Keeneland, and one of ours, Dena Springs. But it's a worthy thing, and they make a lot of money off of it, which they
distribute.
So, let's see what else is going on. I said the gift shop open house, Southern Lights drive through. The stroll is finished. There you go. Let me see. Extended van or limousine is $30. A mini bus is $50. A school bus is $75, and a motor coach is $125. But it's well worth it. It is fun. It is something that you remember, enjoy, and all that stuff. I'm trying to find next week at the horse park. Saturday, Bluegrass Blast Open Drill Team Competition and Snowball Series Mounted Games, the 7th and the 8th, and there's nothing else on the calendar. Obviously, things slow down at the horse park when it gets cold. What is today, the 30th? Oh, yeah, I already said that. Spirit of the Horse.
Don't forget our computer people.
Computer people, our guys at Lexington Computer Clinic. That's the best place. That's the best idea. You can just walk in there and...
It's in the Myers, isn't it?
It's in Myers at Hamburg, and I'm trying to quickly... Where'd my phone go? Oh, well, I'll get you the...
Right, we can catch it later. That's
but they are so nice. You can pay them $20 and go in there, and they give you a lesson for $20 for 30 minutes and show you, if you're like me, I need stuff explained to me. So they're nice guys. And not only that, you can call them up. I'll call them up and say, I can't get this to work. And they'll say, just a minute, what are you doing? And all that kind of stuff. Here it is. I got the number. 263-7374. If it wasn't for those guys, I couldn't get the shows up on the internet, and they're all up to date. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, Weanlings by Art sold for an average of $224,000 at Keeneland's November breeding stock sale, with a high of $290,000 and a low of $110,000. The average was the second highest among stallions that stud in North America and first among those with five or more in the sale. Art stands for a fee of $40,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Art is a great source of stamina. He sired five champions, including Eclipse Award winner Blame, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Blame was the number one freshman sire at the Keeneland September sales, when his yearlings averaged $194,367 and his weanlings averaged $114,375 at Keeneland in November. Blame stands for $30,000, due in a foal stands and nurses. Arch is also the sire of London Bridge, winner of this year's Grade 2 $500,000 Breeders' Cup Marathon. He's the broodmare sire of Kentucky Derby winner I'll Have Another, champion two-year-old Uncle Mo, and a bunch of others. Arch and Blame both stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. And see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, the Clay Ward Agency has been in business since 20 Grand won the Derby. And if I'm not mistaken, that's 1931. And my Russell Cave math tells me that's 82 years ago.
Hardly anything time, dear.
Now, that 1931 was a tough time to start a business.
Yeah,
right,
boy.
Right.
It was a great time for killing a business.
Yeah,
that's
I tell
for
you,
sure.
Right smack dab in the middle of the Depression. But Mr. James Clay Ward, who I had met, I didn't know him very well, but I didn't meet him. He knew what he was doing, and his service was so good there, and he knew his business so good that the business just went right on and flourished right in the middle of the Depression. And it's tell you what, it's still going strong with people down there that know what they're doing. Shaq Parrish, you know, is a good friend of mine. Clay Ward Agency, incidentally, in Indian Creek, are very closely affiliated, both of them down in Bourbon County, as a matter of fact, in Paris. And Clay Ward has, you know, been there since, as I said, 1931 was when he started. And he set a tradition of hard work and service, and he knew the horse business. And that's why he was successful, and that's why they're successful over at Indian Creek with Shaq Parrish and John Hess and Bruce Isaacs at the Clay Ward Agency, and then Shaq and Nicky Dreon down at Indian Creek. Yeah, well, it's a great farm. They've got a tradition, too, of raising runners and selling top-quality blood stock at the major sales. They sold six champions, incidentally. And the list of stakes winners that they've bred and sold and is long and impressive and growing, incidentally. So if you want to get – it's a great place to board a horse. And here's the number. It's 987-7443 for Indian Creek. The number for the Clay Ward Agency is 987-1861. And go to the website for Indian Creek. It's IndianCreekKY.com. That's the Clay Ward and Indian Creek. That's two names that be a real good idea for you to write down and remember if you're in the thoroughbred business. Colonel John, gemologist, Tisway, Tis Wonderful, Tis Deja Vu, all outstanding sons of the great Tisway. Only one stands for a fee of $5,000. And that's Tis Deja Vu. And he won more graded stakes than any of those others that we mentioned. Now, Tis Deja Vu won the Grade 2 Firecracker Handicap at Churchill Downs. Won the Grade 2 American Derby at Arlington Park. Won the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup at Churchill Downs. Won the Grade 3 Crown Royal American Turf Stakes at Churchill Downs. Plus the opening verse stakes at Churchill Downs. Yeah, he was just about unbeatable at Churchill. He also was a pace-setting third. Led deep in the stretch in the Grade 1 Secretariat at Arlington for earnings of nearly $700,000. Tis Deja Vu was a front runner with a catch-me-if-you-can style of running. He was exciting to watch. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, and your inspection's invited. Crestwood Farm, a great place to board your mares. Family operated with a wide variety of services and a great reputation for customer relations. Call the farm at 859-252-3770. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Well, good morning, Michael Blowen.
First of all, how are you? Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm about foundered.
Me too. We had a great time. We had some friends fly in from Boston to spend Thanksgiving with us, so it was really nice.
Great.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Got to knock the ice off the water, see all the boys and girls. Have some fun.
We've had a little trouble with our waters lately, but they're getting fixed today. You know, I've had to knock the ice off the waters.
That's it.
Yes.
That's what keeps you young. So I can't wait to hear this.
Why'd you roll your eyes when you said keep you young?
Are we going to do the horses of 45? I can't wait. I'm on pins and needles.
I'm going to do Devil Diver.
Okay, good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, now let me tell you what. You scoff. Well,
hardly.
Well, I didn't get the day up on the internet that was when Ursel did Exterminator. And they got calls and emails at the radio station.
That's because
somebody fix it because they loved Exterminator.
Well, that's because they thought they were going to get the pests out of the barns. We're calling for extra service.
Speaking of pests, how are you doing, Michael?
Please.
Very well, Ursel. Thank you so much.
That's the first time anybody's heard an Exterminator joke in 50 years.
Oh. Yeah, I'm no youngster either, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, he died in 1945, too. So that,
I wrote 2 years before I was born.
Ooh.
I'm a youngster.
Oh, you're a baby boomer.
I was a sophomore
boomer.
In high school.
You're a baby boomer.
I know. I wasn't part of the youth movement.
I wasn't a sophomore in high school. I was over at Bryan Station in junior high.
Yeah, I was three.
There you go.
Charming, lovely.
More reasons to celebrate. We're still standing up.
That's it.
Amen.
Not too straight.
That was a great race yesterday between Take Charge and Take Charge.
Did you go or did you watch it on TV?
No, I watched it on TV.
Yeah.
We had tours and we had a lot of people. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. Got the Tennessee people here now.
Because people come in for Thanksgiving maybe and they take their guests.
And, you know, as much as we'd like to think everyone gets along with their family, there were several people on there. On the tour on Thanksgiving that said, I had to get out of the house.
That's great.
In fact, one guy asked me if he could come out of my house and watch some of the football game.
That's great.
It was a great crew. It really was. We had a great time. And all the horses are doing really well.
Alabama got beat. Yeah.
Why?
They didn't get beat.
They did. Auburn beat them.
Auburn upset them, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that last night?
I don't know. Everything is blurred with pumpkin. And
I thought it was today. They're playing today.
They're playing today.
Yeah, what's the matter with
that? That's basketball then. I'm talking football.
No, football.
Alabama got
today.
Beat in basketball.
Jeez. Boy, oh boy.
Well, why are they wearing football uniforms?
They were calling fouls very loosely that day.
Maybe I did. Yes,
I think she's got
classic
post-Thanksgiving syndrome.
Well, then she confused me. She told me that Auburn beat Alabama. And I said,
there's so much sports on TV now that she couldn't tell the difference between a football and a basketball.
Can you find it?
The football's the one, the oval one, and the basketball's a little rounder.
Now, the basket UK plays tomorrow night at what time? No, what is it? 8:30?
Look at me. I'm afraid to say.
Yeah.
I swear to you. It wasn't the Baileys.
It's on Fox 1. And I don't know if we get Fox 1 or not. I fished around looking for Fox 1 last night, and I couldn't
find it. Did you have the dish?
Dish.
Yeah, it's on Fox 1. You just have to find it.
Okay.
They have Fox 1 on there.
All right. Well,
I told Diane. Diane's very excited. We counted them up. Like tomorrow, there's 30. No, today there's 31 football games today. On TV.
You counted them?
Yeah, I count them because Diane rolls her eyes all the time. 31 football games and 18 basketball games on TV.
Holy cow.
So I told her. She's all excited. She couldn't even sleep last night.
I'll bet.
Vibrating with excitement that there's going to be so much sports on TV.
Well, UK had a winner yesterday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Curmudgeon.
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 Oh, that's the one they named after you.
Yeah, right.
That's nice.
They left off the old curmudgeon.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
that was his father.
I can't go as far as – I can't go – yeah, right. I'm a junior. I couldn't go as far as this horse did. He won going 2 1/8 miles last night in the starter allowance.
Right by UK.
Right by the University of Kentucky.
Yeah. Nice.
Mike Estes trains him over here.
Oh, that's great. I love those long races. I know it's crazy, and they don't make them anymore, but
they're the best.
We got a call about retiring a Breeders' Cup marathon winner.
Really?
Eldefar. And he went up at Churchill Downs a few years ago. Might have been the first year of the marathon.
Is that right?
Maybe. Anyway, he won the marathon. And one of the provisos was that we also have to take his goat.
Oh, funny.
So I told him we'd have to wait for a little while. We don't have any room, but, you know.
Yeah. Gotta take the goat.
Gotta take the goat, his best friend. He goes nuts if he's not around the goat. He's fine if he's around the goat.
I don't like goats.
Yeah.
They're all different.
You have to treat them differently. You have to treat them all. They're all different. We had one goat at Suffolk Downs that my friend Larita had, and the goat's name was Troubles for obvious reasons. And that goat was a real pain in the neck. He liked to butt everything. And then we had a couple more that were really nice and sociable, and kids could pet
them. They still leave trails of black BBs.
Yeah, well, so, you know, that's the deal. You know, the horses are bigger BBs.
But you can pick those up.
BBs.
A lot easier to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, the way the coldest has been here lately, you can clean the stall with the pool cue.
Yeah, really, there it is. Well, we got some great stuff coming up. December the 9th at Keeneland.
Okay.
There's an NBC talent show that debuts on December. The season debuts on December 9th, and one of the contestants is the Acousticats.
Okay.
From UK.
Oh,
okay. An acapella group from UK, and they're really, really good, and they're on the show. So to celebrate the opening episode, from 7 to 9, the episode starts at 9, which will be available at 9 o'clock if people stay and watch. But from 7 to 9, the Acousticats are going to do a concert benefit for old friends.
Where? At Keeneland?
At Keeneland. Well, this is one of the great parts. You got to love this. Keeneland's donated the sales pavilion to us.
Oh, fun. With all those seats. That's perfect.
Yes.
It's a little
amphitheater.
Amphitheater. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
They're going to perform.
Well,
we've got a lot of guests. It's only $15.
Now, wait a minute. Is this going to be broadcast live or are they taping it?
No, it's broadcast. They've already taped it.
Oh, okay.
They've already taped the show.
Oh, okay.
The show will be going on at December 9th. See, NBC, you can't call it a viewing party. Let me explain this, because NBC doesn't allow that for whatever reasons.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah,
so what we're going to do is we're having a concert.
Okay, before it.
With the Acousticats and other special guests.
It's becoming clear.
That will start, the doors will open at 7 o'clock, and that'll run till 9. And then if you want to, you can stay around and watch the program on all those fabulous TVs.
Ah, I get it. Well, that's fun.
They'll have a bar and some hors d'oeuvres. It'll be really nice.
That's nice. Now, what day of the week is that?
I got to go find Brereton Jones. He's been hiding from me. I can't find him. Because I want to get Airdrie to sponsor it. And then
finally figured you out.
I'm going to try and get Airdrie to sponsor it.
Be smart. He's south somewhere.
I tipped him off. You know, it's like America's Most Wanted. Once they find out you're a fugitive, it makes it a lot harder to find them.
What day of the week is that on?
It's a Monday.
Monday. That's what I thought. That's pretty cool.
It's going to be really nice. And maybe next week, there's a guy named Evan. He's a great guy. He's the manager of the Acousticats. Maybe he could come in next week and bring him in.
Yeah.
Then.
Bring him in. We'll have a concert right here.
Now, I'm driving to Tucson, Arizona next week.
What for?
All right.
Still on the no-fly
list. Don't be so happy. Look at him. He's all excited. Oh, good. I won't have him to kick around for a week. Well, they're doing the University of Arizona Racetrack Symposium that they do every year for their racetrack program. Jim Goodman's going, the simulcast director at Keeneland.
Uh-huh.
He wins that. Keeneland wins their great simulcasting prize practically every year.
Oh.
The best simulcast facilities in the country. Anyway, Jim's going to be there. It's going to be Mandy Minger from the Daily Racing Forum and Amy Zimmer from HRTV. A lot of people that run the racetrack. So they have different things on different days. And I'm on a panel with Chris Lincoln. Remember Chris Lincoln?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He helps us a lot.
I don't remember him. Who is he?
He used to do the half-hour TV racing show all through the 80s. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
Locally.
Yeah, we ran nationally. I mean,
but it was national. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no. His collection of races is unbelievable.
Video
stuff. I think he left it to the Keeneland Library. I think
he
donated to the Keeneland Library. But anyway, that's it should be really, really interesting. Christopher Kay, the new director of the New York Racing Association, is giving an address.
Are they going to close Aqueduct?
I don't know. I'll ask him.
Sounds like.
I'll come back with news.
Oh, yeah.
I'll try and come back with some news. Now, there's a news bulletin. Ursula's going to do an ad.
I'll try to get the stud fees right for you this time. Yesterday at the fairgrounds of Eden Prairie, a 3-year-old filly by Miz and Mass, I won the 1-mile Pago Hop Stakes in wire-to-wire fashion, demolished the field. She won by 5.5 lengths. Bred by Dorothy Matz and trained by Neil Pesson, Eden Prairie finished second by half length in the Grade 2 Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland in a previous start. She's earned nearly $200,000. Last Saturday at Churchill Downs, set the sail, the son of Miz and Mass, finished a game second in the Grade 3 River City Handicap. He has won 3 times at Churchill and once at Keeneland, he's earned over $213,000. So add 2 more names to the list of high-class stakes horses by Miz and Mass. A list which includes 5 Grade 1 stakes winners, 2 this year, Misdirection and Flotilla. Misdirection has won back-to-back runnings of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint and more than $1,169,000. Flotilla won the 2013 running of the Classic French 1,000 Guineas after taking last year's Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Miz and Mass sires runners, and horsemen are well aware of that fact. That's why his yearling sold for up to $380,000 at Keeneland in September. Miz and Mass stands at Judmont Farm for $20,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Moved to Bourbon County as about 25 years ago. We checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, Sidney's Candy's a grade one stakes winner and a millionaire. In fact, he won six graded stakes, competing against many of the best horses in training. He beat champion Looking at Lucky by six lengths in the grade one Santa Anita Derby. And he topped Horse of the Year Wise Dan at Wise Dan's favorite distance in the grade one Shadwell Turf Mile. Now, Sidney's Candy was quite a miler himself. The day he won the grade three Sir Beaufort Stakes, he covered a mile on the dirt and won 33-3. That was just a fifth of a second off track record, 23-year-old track record at Santa Anita. He also set a new track record as a 2-year-old at Del Mar, won 5.5 furlongs and 102-3, and a new course record over Del Mar's grass in the Grade 2 La Jolla Mile, a mile and a 16th and 139-2. Sidney's Candy also won the Grade 2 stakes at Saratoga, graded stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial. He's one of seven Grade 1 winners by Candy Ride. He's out of the Stormcat Mare Fair Exchange, a daughter of the Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire exchange. Weanlings from the first crop by Sidney's Candy sold for an average of over $90,000 this year. He stands for $15,000 doing a full stance of nurses, and he's at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Lana Packard, or Chance Tim. 859-873-1717. Ask about the Dream Big incentive program at Windstar and see the website windstarfarm.com.
Well, we're missing Doc.
We miss him. Doc ratings Byer. Ratings won't be what they usually are without Dr. Byers, but also people won't be getting any solid information from any of us.
Exactly. Instead of baloney. You get the meat from the doc, they get the baloney.
Exactly. Well, I hope he feels better. He probably had a tough Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think he got cast in bed. Ate too much turkey. That's what he told me anyway.
Hey, we're working on something really good. Jackie mentioned Adina Springs, and we're working on them, I hope, with some really good ideas with Eric and his wife Debbie and Frank Stronach. I'm meeting with them when we go out to Arizona because it's a great place to meet and talk about some things. But one of the things that we're trying to do is put the Frankel trophies on tour.
Oh, that's great.
And we've already made arrangements to have a 6-week exhibition through the entire Saratoga meet at the Racing Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It'll be really great. There's a woman named Patty Davis, who's one of our great volunteers, and she comes every once in a while and polishes the trophies. And she's also writing, she's a very good writer and an excellent researcher. She is also writing Bobby Frankel's biography.
Oh, that is a good idea, Michael.
We'll send her around with the trophies to tell the story. Oh, so I'm going to talk to Frank Stronach and some of the people at Adina Springs and through the Stronach Group about sponsoring the tour.
You know, they have their own rescue program.
No kidding. It's fabulous, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done for over 400 horses.
We ended up with one that they missed somehow. It came from Exceller. And we got him in a couple of weeks ago, and we've already sent him on to Virginia to rerun and Lisa Malloy.
Great.
And he came in with a little 3-year-old, cutest little guy you've ever seen, who stood about 15-1, came out of a killer pen in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Nicest little horse you've ever been around in your life. Now, the other old horse...
I loved him.
Yeah, he's good, and he raced till he was 12.
A nuzzler, you know. You get him off, and they come up and start nuzzling your ear. Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh, I love you too.
But you know, he was a little suspicious when we went to load him up. You know,
yeah,
and he didn't want to walk in.
I don't blame him. The last time he got on that trailer, he was headed for someplace else.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, you know, being 13 years old, I tried to load him first. Well, this guy's been there. He ran 116 times. And I said, well, try the other horse. I had hold of the old horse, you know. And the little horse walked in just like he was, you know, every day. Probably never been loaded three times in his life. walked right in, and the old horse followed him then. So
well, and I talked to Lisa, well, you know, when they got there, and she closes the barn and kind of lets them wander around. And she said that little horse, they call him Baby, went to every stall with the stall cleaner. It supervised the cleaning of every stall.
They're amazing. They're so much fun to hang out with.
Yeah, they're just, he's a love. He's a sweetheart.
Really, really fun.
He came in with a lot of burrs in his foretop, you know, so Jackie was cleaning them out in there, and she tied him up, and he didn't want, you know, he hadn't been tied up. So Jackie told Lisa, says, I don't think his horse has ever been, you know, tied up. And she said, "Oh, that's all right." Says, "I ground time all anyway."
Lisa's great.
Yeah,
she is.
It's another good story.
Nick Zito came to see Commentator the other day.
Oh, good. I knew they were in town.
Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And then another horse he had, this is named Bobby Sands. He's named after Robert LaPenta's best friend, Bobby Sands. And I got a call from some people that he was a stakes winner who was, you know, wasn't doing anything at the bottom at Hawthorne Park. And there's a wonderful owner trainer up there named Frank Kirby. Been around forever. He's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
And so we got in contact with Frank through Dee Poulos, who's, we know because her late husband Ernie trained Black Tie Affair.
Oh, okay.
So Dee comes all the time. And in fact, every year on the Breeders' Cup, she sends a big bouquet of flowers in the Breeders' Cup colors to commemorate
that's nice.
His Breeders' Cup. But in any case, so we got in contact with Frank and told him that, you know, we'd take Bobby Sands, but we didn't have any room right now.
Right.
It was going to take a while to find a spot for him. So if he could hold on to him, and Dee agreed she'd take him.
Oh, that's
good.
Have
a stall for him up there at Hawthorne. And then, so the next morning at 7 o'clock, Diane looks out the window and says, you better come out here. I said, you better get out there. I said, why? He goes, there's a Sally horse in the driveway.
So you got him.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he?
Well, he's in the stall now. He goes out half the time and comes in half the time.
There you go.
It's like when we had crowded schools when I was a kid. We had double sessions.
There you go.
So half the town went in the morning and the other half went in the afternoon.
Heck, that'll work. At least he's safe. I think that's great.
But it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
You never know.
They dropped the cats off. They dropped the dogs off. Now they're starting to drop off the horse. Oh, my God. What are we going to do next?
What have you gotten yourself into?
Exactly.
What have you got Diane into?
I know. It's my fault. I agree.
She says, your dream. Figure it out.
Yeah. She's very sarcastic when she says it's your dream. But anyway, it's great. The Thoroughbred aftercare program, has hired a new executive director, and that looks good. They'll be announcing the grants for various organizations in December, so that'll be good.
Now, which one is this?
It's the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance.
Now, who is all in that alliance?
Well, this is the one where they're getting a portion of the sales money from Keeneland,
good,
and they're getting
good.
Some staff.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the TCA.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying their best. You know, one of the saddest stories I read in a long time was a column that was in Jay Hubdy's column right around Thanksgiving about this farm, Tranquility Farm. It was in the day after Thanksgiving about Tranquility Farm, which is one of the really great retirement facilities in the country.
Is that New York?
No, it's in California.
Oh, okay.
It was the Ammermans from Ammerman Racing, and Gary Bazance named it after his father. Harry Bazant's retirement center for thoroughbreds. Anyway, Priscilla Clark's been doing it forever, and she's a really, really great lady. And she finally put up the white flag. She just can't do it anymore. Yeah, because they're just not generating enough income. So I'm hoping that, Jay wrote a really, really good column about it. And now, you know, everybody has to pitch in a little. If everybody pitched in a little, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
And we know the same thing. I mean, it's really hard. You're trying to, you know, you spend half, you know, 90% of your life begging people for money.
Right. Well, you know, the problem with a place like that in California is they don't grow grass. Yeah. They have to hay year round, and horses are in. If they got a paddock that's an acre, they think it's a ranch.
No, I know.
It's not as good as here,
of course not. But there's other places to put it. But the point, of course, is that if the industry got together and really supported this retirement deal, it wouldn't be a problem, and she'd still be open. So anyway, let me interrupt you. We appreciate what we got. We just need more.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. All right. Invasor is the side of Alsis, winner this year of the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap. That's at Arlington. And she placed in three more stakes, including the Grade 1 Beverly D. She's earned $331,733. He's also the sire of the 2013 stakes winner St. Arthur, placed in three more stakes, among them one at Belmont. Of Expression, placed in a pair of 2013 stakes, both at Belmont. Chichaco, placed in the Manly G stakes down at Tampa Bay this year. 516, second in the Curling, that's Saratoga. Midnight Vader, placed in two stakes as a two-year-old. Hall of Famer Invasor, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, winner of the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup, winner of the 9 Grade 1 stakes, Horse of the Year on two continents, Horse of the World as a four-year-old, and again at the time of his retirement, and earned of $7,690,000. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stag Manager Ken Barnes, 294-224-4585. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
I knew that much.
Well, my little buddy Dutcher was 3 years old yesterday, so earlier in the week I went to Quill and Tack and bought him a nice little book down there. They've got a great gift shop in Quill and Tack. And Dutcher loves books, and I think it's important for kids to read and for kids to stay away from TV as far as that goes. But they have a wonderful gift shop down there, and if horse-related gifts for somebody in your family that you want to give them a horse-related gift, well, go to Quill and Tack and look around. You'll find something. And, of course, you're also they have the greatest tack shop in the world. The nation's largest custom halter shop. No two ways about that. And it's a wonderful place to visit. It's a wonderful place to do business with because they're great people. They help out, like they help old friends and Michael over there quite a bit. And just go down and see them. They're down in Paris, Kentucky. You come in from the Lexington area, just go straight on, just stay, don't turn on the bypass, go to the third stoplight and look on your left, plenty of parking, go in and look around, they're really nice people there, go and say hello to Sandy or Debbie, and hey, I saved 10% on the gift, because I paid cash for it when I went in, so I saved 10%.
It's unbelievable. Ralph's a great guy. What's the story on the brewery?
Well, I didn't have a chance to talk to him about the brewery, but the last time, you know, he was, he's still messing around with the government. You know how that goes.
Yeah, his beer's going to be aging longer than that Woodford Reserve stuff.
Okay. Well, it's a great place to go and go. It's Quillin.com, Quillin.com, Quillin Leather and Tack. Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition is out as we speak. There's a real nice article in there about, I haven't had a chance to read it, Korean Racing and Breeding, that Joe Nevels wrote. I'm not too interested. Yeah. The last time I was in Korea, I didn't...
we don't want to go there. They've already arrested some guy for talking about his war exploits. No. Nothing like going to North Korea and bragging about how you killed Koreans. This is not a good way to go. And then they arrest them.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Gee whiz.
But anyway, I hope they're doing real well with their racing and breeding problems over there. But
mostly they
and
don't.
This is South Korea, not North Korea. Let's make that distinction.
Yeah.
And Hanson's over there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a picture of Hanson in there, you know, in that edition. But anyway, they're doing something over in Korea.
There's somebody you can bring back when they're done so they don't send
them to
stallion fights.
I really want to work with the South Koreans on this because they've got some really nice horses that they bought, and it's nice that the people all over the world want to breed to Kentucky stallions. But when the day comes when it's time for them to be done, it would be great if they had a little return ticket.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Well, anyway, Joe Neville's writing about it, and then John Sparkman is writing about Deep Impact, who is the leading sire in Japan and a son of Sunday Silence, who, of course, was top sire over there. Hot sire of the week is English Channel, son of Smart Strike, and Patrick Reed's writing about him. Of course, they've got all the stakes reports in there. And it's in, what kind of pass? Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form. Now in the newsstand, you've got Turfway opens tomorrow. You've got Aqueduct, Hawthorne, Gulfstream, Woodbine, and Fairgrounds to go with that. Great addition to the Racing Form, so why don't you just pick one up? And Michael's looking at one right now in his grubby little fist.
Yep, that's it. It's the Bible. Hallelujah, brother.
Have you heard about what they're doing over at Mirworth Farm, Michael?
No.
Okay. Mrs. Donaldson, who passed away,
right,
who was Walter Salmon Jr.'s daughter.
Right.
She set up a trust fund. And they've got a bunch of rescue horses over there now that they're taking care of.
Great.
Yeah.
I knew she was going to do that. I knew that. I'd gone over there and looked at some of the graves. If you haven't been over there, you should go over and look at some of the horses that they have there. There's some horse graves there. And
well, they, you know, they were, they bred a lot of top horses.
It's a really nice place. Yeah. And she was wonderful. I really liked her a lot. She came on a tour once and wrote us a check for $5,000. Well, I told Diana, it must have been a really great tour.
Oh, the charm just oozes.
Yeah, sure, doesn't it? Especially when the check's $5,000. I just get real charm in that.
Well, I didn't know about that, but
my brother, for her horses?
Connor MacArthur was telling me about it. He goes over and does her blacksmith work. And he had been doing ours for these many years. And we both forgot I was going to get the guy, name of the guy who runs it over there. Do you know who it is, Michael?
What? No.
Okay, well, I'll find out. And I want to get him on the show.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
The Meerworth guys used to be on our baseball team. We had a farm right down the road. We had the Homewood Teasers. And we didn't have enough to do a whole ball team.
And they're complaining about the Redskins nickname.
Yeah. Well, they wanted that name.
Well, our teasers didn't like it.
They'd pick up the poop and practice out in one of the airfields.
You know what happened to that team? They kept getting a lot of runners on base, but they could never score.
Well, they could never finish. They could never. Yeah. That's very good. No home runs.
They're in second and third, and there's nobody out.
Well, that's it. All I could do is hit foul balls.
Well, they stayed together. We had that team until the Gainesway girls beat them 11-0.
And then they disbanded. That was it.
That was it.
Those girls were big.
Yeah. I've been trying to convince somebody to open up a bar called Teasers.
Well, you tried that with
Bill Bandit.
Bill Bandit, when he went for the black tulip.
Yeah, yeah, right. I know. It had to be fancy.
Yeah.
I still think it would be neat to put up all the pictures of all the neighborhood
farm
teasers. Yeah, Windstar, you know. And
some of them had famous teasers.
And, yeah. Ours was named Ace. At least Ace. Ace was about 12 hands.
You were pimping your teaser.
Yeah. Anyway, I leased him for a season, paid the man up front. And he was supposed to pick him up at the end of the season. And hell, he never showed up. And so the next year at the beginning of the season, you know, here he comes. He wants to lease him to me again. I said, hell, I've been feeding him for a year.
Yeah, really?
I'll tell you what. Says, we'll trade bills. Says, you know, right. Says, you pay me for boarding this horse, you know, and we'll call it even. I'll be back.
Yeah, right.
Well, he left. I never saw him again. Well, I had that teaser for 30 years, I guess.
Wow, that's great.
Finally died of
old age. Teaser lucked out big time.
That was
He was something. Ace.
Yeah, he was a kid.
I have to tell this story. I had some friends come down that I went to high school with. And one of the girls was
Knew nothing about horses.
So I'm explaining about breeding and walking around mares and weanling, you know, the whole thing. We got up to Ace's. Ace had this huge crest in his neck. I mean, it was enormous. And we walked up to, what's this? I explained how you use a teaser and all that stuff. And she says, well, does he ever get, you know? And I said, no. She said, oh, my God, it's backed all the way up to his neck.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That is funny. The poor little guy.
Isn't that funny?
I'm going to take a commercial break on top of that one.
Funny.
Will he assign one grade one stakes as a two-year-old? The $290,000 Sears yearling trained by Bob Baffert. Didn't take him long to pay for himself. He broke slowly and ran a closing third his first time out as a two-year-old. Then he finished the season with three straight wins. Broke his maiden at Santa Anita, going 7 furlongs and 1/22 and 3. Won the Real Quiet Stakes around 2 turns at Hollywood Park. Then the grade one cash golf for Turdy, also at Hollywood Park. Liaison, described by Baffert as the closest thing to his sire Indian Charlie that he had seen, went on to take the Grade 2 Mervyn LeRoy, the Santana Mile, with placings in the Grade 2 Swaps, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, the Grade 2 California, and the Grade 3 Affirm, Delmar's Harry F. Brubaker. He earned over $769,000. Liaison's sire is Indian Charlie, and he's sired the winners of 4 Breeders' Cup races, including another Grade 1 winning 2-year-old with standing for a fee of $27,500. And that's Eclipse Award winner, Uncle Mole. Leah's son entered stud for $10,000, who went to full stanza nurses at Spendthrift Farm, home also of Into Mischief, sire of Miss Mischief, winner November 20, the $100,000 Pearl City Stakes at Aqueduct, and, of course, of Golden Sense, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He goes today in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. For more information, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker. Always ask about breeding incentives and see the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. Let me see where I am right now. Okay.
How are you?
Well, we're back to you guys.
He really did get crestfallen.
Huh? You know, the crestfallen?
Yes.
Oase, it about the last 10 years, his crest just fell flat over on its side.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was crestfallen.
Wait a minute, I'm supposed to do something. Yeah, I'm supposed to do two more commercials, and no wonder he didn't do that. I'm talking
oh,
about.
Oh, good. Wise Dan.
That's Wise Dan. I guess it was the
game on, dude.
Game on getting beat yesterday. I just about sewed it up for Wise Dan.
Yeah, I'm thinking about actually. I was thinking about it. I don't know if I can do it or not. It depends on how many people are here for tours. We have Barbara and Beth in the office doing the tours today. But they're going to parade Wise Dan at Triple Downs today.
Oh, are they? Between mm-hmm. what race?
I don't know.
Oh, no, we've got to turn that on and leave it on. They'll show that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
I know.
That's
me
great.
Too. And wouldn't it be? And I think he will be horse of the year again. We'll take charge.
I think
now.
He will.
He'll get 3-year-old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, yeah. Well, anyway, he ran on Reborn. You know, Charlie LaPresti used that for to build up his immune system.
Yeah, Dr. Byers was his vet. Is Charlie's vet?
Is
he
that
helps
right?
With Charlie's horse.
Oh well, ah. No wonder the horse runs so good.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, Reborn, of course, is a whole bovine colostrum. And bovine colostrum, if I can say it. And here's how you get in touch with them. It's, let me give you an 800 number. It's 901-8498. And you can pick it up at KBC in Lexington, at Horse Sense in Versailles. You have the Lubricin, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, we have Lubricin. We give it to our horses and we give it to our volunteers.
Yeah. Oh, what about the board members? Give it to them.
Okay, bond.
Keep them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're both products developed by Dr. Steve Alday, who's been very kind to you all over there.
Steve's been great. His wife, Kim's been great. Everybody at Lubricin's been really terrific to us. We can't thank them enough.
Yeah, well, there's the two great products. And one, the Reborn, the colostrum, you should probably start using it with the folding season coming up here not too long away now, giving it to the foals. Because, you know, that they're always running out of colostrum at the vets around here, you know. So this would
yeah,
help.
Yeah, they are.
Every time at the farm managers meeting, they're always asking for colostrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they it helps. It builds up the immune system, and that's what you want to do with foals and with older horses. And that's why Charlie uses it on Wise Dan and his other horses. And of course, he probably uses the other product, too, is the Lubricin. Todd Pletcher uses it. Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer.
And me.
And Jackie and me. Uses it. Yeah, they make it for humans. And you can buy that, both of the Lubricins over at Old France.
Yep, that's right. And they have a new grape flavor.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever used anything but the grape. It doesn't taste bad at all.
No, yeah, tastes good, actually. After a while, you go, wow.
If you want to know about these two products, go to Lubricin.com, LUBRISYN.com, or Reborn, REBORNE.com. And a couple of real first-class products there. You can't go wrong.
Jackie she mixes it with her Baileys.
Yeah. I mix everything with Baileys. It's great.
Well, Broken Vow is a sire of 15 two-year-old winners this year. The most recent during My Secret Affair. Winner last Sunday of a maiden special at Hollywood Park. Went 6 furlongs, 109 and change. Won by 2.25 lengths. And Camille Claudel, a winner Wednesday of a 1 mile maiden special at Laurel by 19 lengths. 19 lengths. Listed among those 15 juvenile winners are three that have earned black type, including Rosalind, who was an unlucky third, just got beat a half length for all the money in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. After an awkward start, Rosalind closed with a late rush and was flying at the end. Earlier, she had won at First Asking, then finished third in the Grade 2 Pocahontas at Churchill and Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Rosalind's a likely candidate to join such Grade 1 winning fillies as By Broken Vow as Unbridled, Sassy Image, Cotton Blossom, and she's one of 16 2013 stakes horses by Broken Vow. The leading son of Unbridled now at stud in North America. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000. Payable when the foal stands in nurses. Also standing at Pin Oak Stud are Alternation. He's new for 2014. Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty, we got a few minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to get Steve Moody on up after the top of the hour.
Yeah, oh, yeah, if you don't get Steve on, you're going to get my picks, and that'll really set you back.
Well, give me your loser of the week.
Well, my loser of the week is in the second race at the fairgrounds.
All right.
It's this isn't a great race or anything. It's a claiming race, non-winners of two lifetime for $25,000. It's a mile on the grass. Nick's Vision wanted to run last time on the grass at Hawthorne. It got taken off the grass, so he was eighth by 26 lengths. But he's moving back to the grass, and he's a closer, and he doesn't like to win, which is just what we like.
Ah, there you go.
I got beat last week on a horse who went off at 40-1, and I had him second, third, and fourth, and he won.
Oh.
I wanted to shoot myself. Diane said, well, why didn't you go ahead? trust your instincts.
No, your instincts is what made you second, third, and fourth.
Anyway, so Nick's Vision, and also David Flores is riding, and Rosie Napravnik, of course, is winning all kinds of races. I forget how many she won yesterday.
She won the stakes on that Mizmash filly there.
She's been riding unbelievable. The problem now is that horses that she rides that should be maybe 3-1 or 5-2 are going off as 7-5 and 6-5.
Right.
So it's really... It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to beat her, and it's tough to make money betting her. So,
sure.
And she's on our board of directors, and we love Rosie.
Yeah.
She came by and modeled some more of the hats that were named after the horses, and they'll be up on the internet soon for Christmas.
She's some kind of athlete.
Oh, they are?
Yeah,
I
she
need
is.
A new hat.
Well, these are very
right.
pricey. I don't think Ursula's going to go
okay. No, I don't need that kind of a hat.
The last one went for like $800.
Woo!
$800.
I ain't getting
no $800. 800. Yeah.
Shoot.
The decimal point's way out of Ursula's range.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's out of my range, too.
She'd come after the eight.
But she came and modeled all the hats.
Oh, that's great.
I think that's one of the reasons.
Pictures?
Yes.
Put them on the internet. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And they're all named after our different horses. And they incorporate, and Maggie May, who does the hats out in, she makes them in Cape Cod and then sends them. I mean, they're unbelievable.
That's
they incorporate
great.
The horses' silks and colors.
That's
that we
nice.
Incorporate part of their hair in it. We get some mane hair, some tail hair, and put
yeah.
that into the mix. And they're absolutely spectacular.
Do you ever have any of the ex-owners or ex-trainers or anything bidding on these things?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I think that Barry Schwartz's wife, Barry Schwartz is runs Calvin Klein.
Right.
And he and his pals have a racing stable called Black Swan Stables, and they donated Sean Avery to us. And I think she bought the Sean Avery hat.
Ah. We had a Barry Schwartz bred once, remember?
No.
Curly's Valentine.
Oh, no. He didn't breed that, I don't think. He bought her.
Well, I think what he did was he was trying to make a stallion, and he bought a fistful. Of mares off the racetrack, good hard knocking mares that were not loaded with pedigree, and bred them and threw them in the sales, and we bought one. That's how I knew Barry Schwartz was Calvin Klein.
Yeah,
just because
that whole team of his Black Swan Stables filled with people. The publisher of the New York Post, Robert Greenhut, a movie producer I knew a long time ago when I was writing about the movies for the Globe.
Yeah,
he produced all of Woody Allen's movies from Annie Hall on, and he produced Mike Nichols' movies. I told him, actually, when we got Sean Avery, he owned part of Sean Avery. I said, this is the second horse we have of yours. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, we have this horse named Make Luck. And it still didn't click. But he produced a movie with Jack Nicholson called Wolf that Mike Nichols directed.
Yeah.
And Jack Nicholson plays a werewolf in it. And he gets into a struggle with a black stallion, and that's Make Luck.
Oh, geez.
So he's our other movie star horse. Anyway, it's quite a group. It's quite, and the guy
funny.
That owns Ciro's, owns all the Ciro's restaurants, he's in with them.
Oh, gee
they're
whiz,
a fun looking crowd. They're
they
a fun loving crowd, I'll tell you.
Are they in New York, I suppose?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's
all right, I'm
top
going.
Of, top of the hour.
Well, tell Diane hello.
I will. Hope Dr. Byers feels better. I told him we try not to give the listeners any misguided medical information.
Okay. We didn't, did we?
I don't think so.
No. I don't think Bailey's is misguided medical.
No, we gave good information when we did the Luberson ad, but that's as close as we got.
Yeah.
All right.
As close as we dare.
Yeah. All right, Ursula. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks, Michael.
Same to you. We'll see you next week, my friend. No, we won't. You won't be here next week.
You call.
I'll call. Whatever Rusty says, I'll take. You know,
yeah, let's do, because I want to hear what's going on out there.
Okay, we'll be somewhere in Albuquerque.
Now, wait a minute. When is this conference? Is it over the weekend or this week?
No, it starts a week from Monday, but I'm driving.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to start a little early.
Oh, gee whiz. Yeah.
Happy trails to you.
Happy trails. Hey, that's right.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Point of Entry won 5 Grade 1 stakes and $2,494,490. He also ran second by a half length in the 2012 running in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf. And the final start of his career finished a fast closing fourth, beating just over a length for all the money in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf. Point of Entry is one of 120 stakes winners by Dinah Farmer, and he's a half-brother to Pine Island, winner of the classic Grade 1 Alabama and Grade 1 Gazelle. His dam, By Seeking the Gold, is a full sister to both Pleasant Home, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff, and of over $1,378,000, and multiple graded stakes winner Country Hideaway, winner of over $762,000, and the dam of 2 graded stakes winners. This is the famed Phipps family of Champion Sky Beauty, Classic winner Mabel Jinsky, Champion Gold Beauty, and a host of others. Point of Entry entered stud for $25,000, due in a full stands and nurses. Now, in recent stakes, Einstein sired his second first crop juvenile to earn black type when Rank Has Privileges, winner first time out of a maiden special at Keenan, placed in his second start in the Grade 3 $1 million Delta jackpot. Einstein, winner of Grade 1 5 Grade 1 stakes and of nearly $3 million, and Point of Entry both stand at Edina Springs. Einstein's fee is $7,500 due when a foal stands in nurses. For more information, call the farm, 859-987-1798, and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
WLXG Lexington, CN Sports Radio 1300, Toyota Rent-A-Car, your minivan rental headquarters.
Toyota!
And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last Saturday in Louisiana, the $150,000 Treasure Chest Stakes was won by Class Included, a 5-year-old mare by Include, bred in Kentucky by Michael and Amy Furborn. Class Included won by 6 lengths over Livy McKenzie. She's by Macho Uno, and Julia Deere by Congrats boosted her earnings to over $507,000. Now, Class Included has won 11 of her 22 starts, 9 stakes, including the Grade 3 Ballerina. And she's been second 7 times. She's a typical Include. Include has compiled a remarkable record at stud. He's sired 5 Grade 1 stakes winners, and another 13 have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 18 Grade 1 performers. So if you want to compete at the highest level and you want to sire standing for a modest stud fee, look to Include at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Include stands for $12,500 life hold. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, well, we're starting the second hour of Horse Tales, and we're going to start it out with Steve Moody, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And looking through here, what's the stakes down there today? Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Philly Stakes. What's the name of that one now? I forget it.
The Goldenrod.
Goldenrod. Well, let's take a look at them, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Ursa. We'll try to get through this here. We're having phone problems, so.
Oh, my.
Don't know if we'll make it through here or not. But the ninth race is the first of the stakes. That's the Goldenrod, a mile and a 16th for 2-year-old fillies. All the races of today are for 2-year-olds. Up there in the 12 race card, last day of the meet, and good field here for the Goldenrod. I think there's 4 or 5 that have a pretty good chance in here. I I settled on the 7-horse Ursel, the Claiborne horse Vexed. First stakes race that she had for Al Stahl was a good second in the Rags to Riches Stakes, which is a little stake they had down there in the September meet. And she's come out of that race, worked well since then. This is a arch filly. That race was at shorter distance. I think she'll like the two turns today. And she appears to be a fairly, you know, square price. She's a 9-2 on the morning line. And you've got 7-2 in here, a couple of 4-1. So I think she'll be a decent price today. I'm going to give her a slight edge on top. The 9-horse Playful Love, a little bit of a price, 12-1. It's a filly by Tappet, another one that I think will really like the added ground. She was a winner on opening day, and coming back today, I think she still has her room to improve. I'm going to use her second. And then the 5-horse Birdmaker, the added Lasix last time. This is, of course, a Mary Lou Whitney horse and a Birdstone. And like I said, they put Lasix in her, and she was an easy winner. Comes back today, stretches out, and I think she's got a big shot here. But very tough race. We're going to go with Vexed 7-9-5 in the Goldenrod.
7-9-5. Okay, what about the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes? Been a lot of good horses win that.
Right, that's the 11th race. And a field of 10 drawn in there. The big favorite in there, a little surprising to me that was he was that.
Uh-oh, I think we've lost Steve. Want to try him back? So no, we just let it go, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, we got the, at least we got the Goldenrod in. What do you think, Michael? I mean, Ressie?
You come back?
No, he isn't back. No. Well.
Yeah, after the next break.
See, we'll try him at the next. Well, you can always throw in another commercial down there and try him now if you want to. What do you want to do? Too late to do that? Yeah, I guess it is. Okay. All right, well, that's too bad. Well, he warned us, didn't he? All right, let me take care of them, my good friend David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. Well, let me do a set of commercials here, and then maybe you can get him. Give him another try. Wienlands by Arts sold for an average of $224,000 at Keeneland's November breeding stock sale. The high was $290,000, and the low was $110,000. Now, the average was the second highest among stallions that stood in North America, and first among those with five or more in the sale. ARTS stands for a fee of $40,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses. ARTS is a great source of stamina. He sired five champions, including, of course, Eclipse Award winner Blame, winner of the Grade One Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, Blame was the number one freshman sire at the Keeneland September sales, when his yearling sold for an average of $194,367, and his weanlings average $114,375 at Keeneland in the November sale. Blame stands for $30,000 doing the foal stands and nurses. Arch is also the sire of London Bridge, winner this year of the Grade Two $500,000 Breeders' Cup Marathon, and he is broodmare sire of Kentucky Derby winner I'll Have Another and champion two-year-old Uncle Mole. Arch and Blame stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Regan and Hill Parker, real estate people, real horse people. They're helping real horse people. If you're in the horse business and you're looking to get a horse farm or sell your horse farm, these are the people you should go to. That's Hill and Regan Parker. And let me give you their website, and you ought to go to their website. They've got a great listing. It's lexhorsefarms.com, lexhorsefarms.com. And as I said, they've been, when you hire the Hill and Reagan, you get a team working for you. The two for the price of one, you might say. They've been in the business over 12 years, Hill's a hands-on horseman, so I'm out here training just the other day. And, in fact, he saddled one of a steeplechase winner up in Horse City. Also went on the flat with just the other day. Licensed trainer, level pony clubber, A-level pony clubber. Got the best behaved horses I ever saw on a racetrack. They have listings now in Fayette and Bourbon. The Bourbon properties own Clay Kaiser right up from us. Right. Jessamine, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of and locations of size and prices. And they can find just the perfect farm for you. And they can find it, you know, just leave it up to them and they'll get it for you. The place over on Clay Kaiser right up from us is, let's see how many acres we've got there. It's they've just got it priced for $775,000. It's a 1091 Clay Kaiser right up the road from us, 80 acres. And it is a wonderful piece of property. I also got a place on Ironworks Road over in Paris, Kentucky. The address is 400 Ironworks Road for $675,000. And it's a rural subdivision out there. I really like the house. It's got a nice porch all the way across the front. Anyway, we're trying to get you to come to Bourbon County. I guess you noticed that right now. There's also got a place on Hawkins Cummins, which is right close to us, for about the same price. And it's at 325 Hawkins Cummins Road. So there's a lot of good horse farms you'd be surrounded by there. So give them a call or go to that website. The phone number, it's a Lexington number. It's 608-8039. And once again, the website is lexhorsefarms.com. You couldn't do business with nicer people. It's always nice to do business with people you like and that you can trust. Well, Midas Touch is a champion son of Galileo, the world's leading sire in 2012, the world's leading sire in 2013, the sire of Magician, who, of course, won the Grade One $3 million Breeders' Cup Turf, sire of the Great Frankel. Galileo is sire going on 160 stakes winners and counting. Midas Touch was a champion 3-year-old his year in Ireland. His dam is the stakes-winning daughter of Deshaun. Deshaun, the broodmare sire of some 200 stakes winners, 120 graded stakes winners, and 8 champions. Great pedigree. The second dam also won stakes, and you find the names of 4 champions under her name. Superb family. Now, Midas Touch is available for your inspection over at Warhorse Place. It's on Kearney Road, 4425 Kearney Road, right in Lexington. Kearney goes off of Georgetown Pike. You can't miss it. Also standing in Warhorse Place is the young graded stakes winner, Santiva. He's by Giant's Causeway, and his sons are starting to do real well at stud. He's out of a daughter of a Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Safely Kept. You remember her. She won over $2,194,000. Midas Touch stud fee is $10,000. Santiva stands for $7,500. Payable when a foal stands in nurses. Get in touch with Jerry Assinger. Number over there is 859. All of these three numbers are 859 numbers. 509-0053. Dana Assinger, 509-3157. Or Rachel Holman, 576-6209. And to pick up those numbers, if you didn't hear me right, go to warhorseplace.com for Midas Touch and Santiva.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports?
All right. Now, we're back with Steve Mooney for the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. We're crossing our fingers and lighting a candle, and maybe we won't lose him this time. And you warned us, Steve. Hello? It's gone.
Oh.
All right. We got to go.
Yeah.
But it didn't take us long to lose him this time.
What happened?
I don't know. He said it was his phone.
Oh.
Call him up and tell him if he's talking, we ain't hearing.
Yeah, can you hear me, Ursel?
Now I can hear you. What are you on now?
I'm still on the same one. I've been having problems the last 2 days. So,
well, give us a 1-2-3 real quick.
All right, we're going to take kind of upset the favorite, take Culprit the 2 over the 1 Almost Famous and the 6 Tapiture in the Jockey Club. 2-1-6.
2-1-6. Now, why do you like Culprit? You're still on the phone.
I just think that he's, he's getting better each time out. I think he'll like the switch from one turn to two. His dirt races, he just continues to improve. And while the one was impressive last time, 6-5 just can't. I can't go there. It's just not today.
Okay, very good. Well, you got through it. Thank you.
All right.
I think he's gone again.
I'm here.
Okay, all right. Well, we're gonna bail out here before you bail out on me.
All right.
Thanks, Steve. This has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheep. You can pick that up on brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. Just anywhere the Celebration Farm, out of Keeneland, Churchill. Great outfit that is with there in Bloodstock Research Information Services. Got a lot of great stuff there. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Now, let's look at the stakes races from the last week or so. Starting with yesterday, I think I'll start with the Clark Handicap. Now, this is compliments of David Schweitzer and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. And these were all Kentucky breds that won stakes in the last week. And we'll take charge out not a game on dude. In the Grade 1 Clark Handicap yesterday, $500,000 pot. Of course, he was bred by Eaton. We'll take charge. Won the Clark Handicap. Let's see, the Citation Handicap, Grade 2, yesterday out at Hollywood Park. Went to Silencio, bred by Wertheimer and Freer. And foaled right up the road here in Kentucky at Haggard Farm. And continuing right on, yesterday's stakes, I guess it is, the Pago Hop Stakes at the fairgrounds yesterday. Eden Prairie won that, Wired to Field, three-year-old filly. She's by Mizzen Mast, stands over Judd Mott, bred by Dorothy Matz. This filly was the easiest kind of winner, and Rosie Napravnik rode her. And she went off at even money and went like 1-5. She led all the way and won by 5.5 lengths. Broken front and never looked back. Okay, well, here's one. Here's a goodie here. This is the Grade 1 $100,000 Colonial Cup Stakes at Camden. This was run on the 30th. And the winner was on the 23rd. Al Jamal won that. And that's a First Samurai gilding. He's 5 years old. This race was at 2¾ miles. And he was bred by Shadwell Farm. I love those races. The Princess Stakes, Grade 3 at Delta Downs last Saturday, went to Teppan. Bred by Mock Mahal. The Delta Downs Jackpot Stakes, Grade 3. The winner was Rise Up, bred by the Cottonwood Stables. Potomac River won the Churchill Downs Grade 3 River City Handicap, bred by Mirworth Farm. Sensational Bunny won the Glorious Song Stakes at Woodbine last Saturday. That's bred by Bob Baffert and Lanny Bloodstock. I believe it was probably raised over at Hillendale. I don't, most of Baffert's stuff is Cactus Wren Stakes at Turf Paradise, like we as Riz won that, bred and raised at bred by Glencrest Farm. That's the Great House family. The Orleans Stakes at Delta Downs winner was Boss Barney's Babe, bred by Lynn Jones, Kathy Jones, Louis Geira, and Chris Cristoforu. The Treasure Chest Stakes at Delta Downs that same day went to Class Included. This is a $150,000 plot. She won by 6. She's by Include, who's keeping the old Domino Sire line alive, bred by Michael Fuhrborn and Amy Fuhrborn. One of my favorite horses is Include. The Delta Mile Stakes at Delta Downs went to a Grand Contender, bred by Epona Thoroughbreds. The Sam's Town Stakes at Delta Downs winner, Charles H. Dieters, bred Hip Far 69. I think Kentucky Weds won all but one of the stakes. I think they won all the open stakes at Delta Downs last Saturday. Here's another Camden Steeplechase, or I guess it's a brush race. The Raymond G. Wolfe Memorial, 2 miles, was the winner. Scrooge. Bred by Edith Dixon. Let's see. The Lady in Waiting Stakes lay on Wednesday at Penn Nation. Went to Five Star Mama, bred by Tom Van Meter. The Swatara Stakes Wednesday at Penn National winner was Tap Town, and that one was bred by the Clover Town Farm. Hyde Park Stakes at Kempton in Great Britain went to Serious Prospect, bred by Brookdale and Dr. Ted Colefirth. Thanksgiving Day Handicap went on Thanksgiving Day at the fairgrounds. It's a very original name there. Gantry won that. Gantry is by Pulpit, bred by the DJ Stables. Also on Thursday, the Grade 2 Fall City down in Churchill went to Wine Princess, and that is a four-year-old filly by Ghost Zapper. This filly's won a bundle, bred by Alan Paulson, Living Trust. A Ghost Zapper filly, of course, Ghost Zapper down at Adena Springs. Hey, here's the other one. the Gopher won Grade 2 at the fairgrounds. Last Friday, went to, not yesterday, but a week ago, went to Royal Lahaina, and that one was bred by Anthony Guida. So that's it for Kentucky Bred Stakes Horses last week and this week, as far as that goes. Yesterday at the fairgrounds, Eden Prairie, a three-year-old filly by Mizmas, won the 1 mile Pego Hop Stakes in wire-to-wire fashion. Beat her field by 5.5 lengths. Bred by Dorothy Mattson, trained by Neil Pessin. Nice young man. Knew his daddy, too. Eden Prairie finished second by 1/2 length in the Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland in a previous start. She's earned right at $200,000 now. Last Saturday at Churchill, set to sail, also by Mizzen Mass. Excuse me. Finished a game second in the Grade 3 River City Handicap. He won three times at Churchill and is once over at Keeneland. He's earned over $213,000. So you can add two more names to the list of high-class stakes horses by Mizzen Mass, a list that includes five Grade 1 winners, two this year, Misdirection and Flotilla. Misdirection has won back-to-back runnings of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, beating the boys both times. She's earned more than $1,169,000. Flotilla won this year's running of the Classic French 1,000 Guineas after taking last year's Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Mizzen Mass, sires runners, horsemen know that, and that's why his yearling sold for up to $380,000 at Keeneland this year. Mizzen Mass stands for Ed Judmont for $20,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett Walker and Fry and see the website at JudmontLastCon.com. Well, last Saturday, Camden, the Grade 100,000 Colonial Cup, run over 2 3/4 miles, was won by Al Jamal, a 5-year-old bred by Shadwell Farm and raised on products from McCauley Brothers. That same day at Turf Paradise, the Cactus Wren Stakes, that was a little bit shorter, going 6.5 furlongs. It was won by As Ridge, a 4-year-old gelding, raised on products from McCauley's at Glencrest Farm. Congratulations to all. The folks at McCauley's are proud to be associated with many of the most successful horsemen in the business world over. Week after week, the runners raised on McCauley products give positive testimony to the quality of those products. Give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call. 859-873-3333. Ask them about the free services provided with every bag of feed you purchase and see the website at MacaulayBros.com. Visit the website, as I said, at MacaulayBros.com. I'll go to the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, winnings from the first crop by Champion Uncle Mole sold for an average of over $129,000 at Keeneland in November sale. 18 were offered and 15 sold. Top price colt went for $250,000 and the top price filly for $190,000. Uncle Mole was a champion 2-year-old of his year. In fact, he was the highest ranked 2-year-old on the experimental handicap in the past 15 years. And he recorded the highest buyer speed ratings of his generation at both 2 and 3. Won his debut at Saratoga by 14 lengths, 3/4 and 9 and 1 for a 102 buyer. Ran a mile 134 and 2 to take the Grade 2 Champagne, won by nearly 14 lengths. Gained an Eclipse Award by winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile by 4 lengths with a 108 buyer. Next year, he posted a 118 buyer in the Grade 2 Kelso. Won the Timely Rider Stakes and was beaten the nose after a 5-month layoff by Breeders' Cup mile winner Caleb's Posse for a 106. And that was in the Grade 1 King's Bishop. Uncle Mo, one of four winners of Breeders' Cup races by Indian Charlie, retired with earnings of $1,606,000. He stands for $27,500, doing a full stint in nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at ashfordstud.com. Eddie, I'm going to do something on that I've been threatening to do here for a couple of weeks. I'm going to take this opportunity to do it. We're going to talk about a horse named Devil Diver, who was a foal in 1939 by St. Germans out of Dabchick by Royal Minstrel. Both St. Germans and Devil Diver entered stud at Green Tree Stud. Incidentally, they were Devil Diver bred by Green Tree. St. Germans, of course, was imported. But in American Racehorses in 1945, this was written by Joe Palmer, and my favorite turf rider of all time, and probably the greatest turf rider of all time. All right, I'll have to wet my whistle there. So this is Joe writing about Devil Diver, and it took him forever just to introduce the horse to get around to talking about Devil Diver, which makes it good. To speak of classic handicaps is deliberately to produce a contradiction in terms, because a classic is designed to test the superiority of even terms, at even terms, while a handicap is an intentional attempt to destroy superiority by weight. The ideal of the classic is for the best horse to win. The intent of a handicap is to see that he does not, or at least that he wins no more frequently than inferior horses. In American racing, the handicap, originally planned for second flight horses, has become the staple of racing for four-year-olds and up, and the stakes for older horses that wait for age without allowances may be counted on the fingers of one hand, even if one has lost a finger or two. It must be confessed, though, that a handicap tells something which a classic does not. The classic picks out the best horse. The handicap measures the margin of superiority over his contemporaries. The classic winner can sweep the boards at 126 pounds. Can he do it at 128, at 130, 132, 134? Somewhere along the line, we find his limitation. We measure with some accuracy, in the old phrase, how good he is. You will realize that the trainer of the horse does not usually see eye to eye with a racing secretary in this matter. There was, to be sure, an historic instance when racing secretary Jack Campbell moved a horse from grade C down to grade D, only to have the trainer tell him, "You're underestimating that horse. You'll have to put him back in grade C as soon as he runs a time or two." Mr. Campbell ultimately recovered from this shock, which is saying much for him. In general, however, the phrase "honored with the top impulse" has a somewhat holler sound, but to the trainer of the horse involved. Although the classic race and the handicap are poles apart, there are a few handicaps which have come to be considered almost as classics by reason of the fact that year after year they are contested by the best horses in training, so that a victory in them is a perpetual badge of achievement. The standard of competition necessarily varies, but this is true in the classics also. Three of these semi-classic handicaps, sanctified by time and by high standards of performance, are the Toboggan, Metropolitan, and Suburban handicaps. All of them now run at Belmont Park during the spring meeting. The Toboggan and Metropolitan had their inception in 1890 and 1891, respectively, at the old Morris Park, Belmont Park's predecessor. At Morris Park, also, there was a diagonal course called the Eclipse Course, cutting through the infield, and this was the scene of the Toboggan. Turf riders of the period referred derisively to the course as a toboggan slide because it was slightly downhill. And the management of the track with a fastidiousness now considered undignified named the race the Toboggan Slide Handicap. It was run down the straightaway when it was transferred to Belmont Park. Of course, this was not the present wider course. With the exception of a few years in the 20s, and one of the 1941 running, it has always been run down a straight course. Such notable sprinters as Voter, Iron Mask, Osman, Balco, Roseband, and Deliberator have been among its winners. The Metropolitan was a heritage from Morris Park, and except for its earliest years, has always been at the present distance of 1 mile. Jack High holds the record, 135, for the stakes, and among its winners are Bannerstar, Irish Lad, Whisperum the Second, The Finn, Greylag, Equipoise, Snark, 830, and Saracen. The Suburban was an institution of 1884 of Sheepshead Bay, which closed with the rest of the New York racing after the 1910 season and never reopened its gates. Whisperum the Second won the first running of the Belmont Park, this being the occasion of that rather dubious 2 minutes, which still stands as the official American record for a mile and a quarter. Belmont Park had two finishing posts at the time, one for races on the chute and one for those on the main track. You will, of course, remember that in 1913, Belmont ran its races clockwise instead of its present direction. And there were a good many persons who insisted that the timer stepped his watch at the wrong post. Stopped his watch at the wrong post. Legend has it that one trainer told him, "You're the only man on the grounds that thinks he ran it in two flat." And the timer answered sweetly, "And I'm the only one whose opinion matters a damn to the records." But at all events, Whispering the Second was carrying 139 pounds, and he ran the distance in something closely approximating 2 minutes. Included in the list of other winners are Raceland, Ben Brush, Henry of Navarre, Beldame, Fitzherbert, Friar Rock, Crusader, Equipoise, 830, Mad Hatter. Not yet has a horse succeeded in winning all three of these races in the same seasons, though many have tried. In the first place, to beat sprinters at their own game, milers at theirs, and finally take on the stayers demands the most unusual versatility. In the second, with all three races run at the same meeting, a trainer has the extremely difficult task of getting the horse razor sharp for a sprint, keeping him razor sharp for 3 weeks, and at the same time bringing him to a condition in which he can stay 10 furlongs. For this reason, the record of Green Tree Stables' Devil Diver deserves special examination in relation to these three handicaps. Before him, the best record was that of George D. Widener's 830, which won the Toboggan and the Suburban in 1940 and led into the stretch of the Metropolitan under 128 pounds, only to tire and finish fourth. In 1941, he won the Toboggan and Metropolitan and was prevented by an injury to a suspensory ligament from running in the Suburban, which he seemed to have an excellent chance to win. Devil Diver won the Toboggan and Metropolitan in 1943, but he was bothered by the Suburban and ran fifth, and then won the 1 mile and a quarter Brooklyn, this in itself constituting unprecedented triple. In 1944, he won the Toboggan and the Metropolitan again, and like 830, seemed to have a good chance in the Suburban. But that famous sore heel of his went wrong on the eve of the race, so that he also was denied his best chance at the triple. In 1945, he won the Pomona, which, like the Toboggan, is at 6 furlongs. But Apache made the most of a 6-pound weight advantage and beat him in the Toboggan. Thereafter, Devil Diver won the Metropolitan and the Suburban, joining 830 as the only horse to win all three races at any time in his career. Thus, in the three runnings of these three handicaps, there were 9 separate events, of which Devil Diver ran an 8, won 6, and was second once. It is a record which can hardly be improved upon until this great triple is, in actuality, brought off. There is also a matter of weight. Devil Diver carried 134 pounds when he won the Toboggan in 1944, and he had 135 when he was beaten in 1945. The previous record was the 130 pounds on which Bannerstar won in 1901, and which the great sprinter Iron Mask carried in 1913. Mad Hatter tried under 135 in 1921, but he had finished third, and Stromboli beaten under 133 in 1970. Other highweights had finished out of the money. The 1944 Metropolitan was won under 134 pounds in 135 and 4. Only two horses had run the race faster, Third Degree under 123 and Jack High under 110. Greylag won the race in 1923 under 133 pounds. 830 won under 132 in 1941. No other horse had so much as been placed under 134. The 1945 Suburban found Devil Diver winning under 132 pounds. This was not a record, for Equipoise had won under the same weight, Greylag under 135, and Whisperm the Second under 139. It is, nonetheless, a very steadying burden over a mile and a quarter. That's Joe Palmer writing about Devil Diver. I want to talk a little bit about more about him in just a second, but we've got to take a break to pay some bills and talk about Invisor. And Invisor is the sire of Ossus, winner this year of the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap at Arlington, and placed in three more stakes, including the Grade 1 Beverly D.E. for earnings of $331,733. He's the sire of 2013 stakes winner St. Arthur, placed in three more stakes, among them one of them at Belmont. Of Expression, she's placed in a pair of 2013 stakes, both at Belmont. Chachaco, second in the Managee Stakes down in Tampa Bay. 516, second in the Curling Stakes at Saratoga. Midnight Vader, placed in stakes, a pair of them, as a matter of fact, as a two-year-old. Hall of Famer Invisor, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, winner of the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup, winner of the 9 Grade 1 Stakes, Horse of the Year on two continents, Horse of the World as a four-year-old, and again at the time of his retirement, an earner of $7,690,000. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes. Number is 859-224-4585, and to see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, More Than Ready is sired 123 stakes winners. It's just sired 56 graded a group stakes winners, 15 grade one stakes winners, 7 millionaires, 4 champions, the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. He's a sire this year of 18 stakes winners, 12 graded stakes winners, 3 grade one, including Verrazano. He starts today in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile up at New York. Truly an international sire. More Than Ready, they sired graded stakes winners in 12 countries and Grade 1 stakes winners in 7 countries. In 2013, More Than Ready sales yearlings have sold for an average of $121,517. He stands for $50,000 payable when the foal stands in nurses, and he stands at Windstar Farm, home also of Sprightstown, the leading sire of Dirt Stakes winners in 2013, two of the nation's top three freshman sires, and Colonel John, a son of the Windstar Stallion Tis Now, and Pioneer of the Nile, he's my empire maker. There's a just right stallion for every mare at Windstar Farm. Give Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, a chance to him a call. 859-873-1717. Ask about Windstar's Dream Big Incentives Program, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Want to get back to talking a little bit about Devil Diver. Devil Diver concluded his career. He'd run 47 times and won 22 races, 12 seconds, 3/3. 261,064 dollars were his earnings. Doesn't sound like much, but this now we're talking about back in 1943, 44, 45. A lot of money then. God only knows how much it would be now. Winning all the races that he won, 4 or 5 million probably. He was a foal of 1939 by St. Germans, had a dab chick by Royal Minstrel. He was bred by Green Tree and owned by Green Tree. John Gaver trained him. And he was, I said, by St. German. St. German's was full in 1921 by Swinford. Swinford had won the St. Ledger and been the leading sire in England 8 times. St. German's won the Coronation Cup and the Doncaster Cup. Ran second in the 1924 English Derby. Started his career in Great Britain and was imported over here by Greentree. Went to stud right here on the Paris Pike. And he was a had a fertility problems. Had him when he got here. I wonder if they told him when he bought. Told the folks at Greentree. It was Jock Whitney at the time. If they knew that. Well, anyway, they sold him. But he sired. You know, he was a good sire over here, but he was not popular because of his fertility. But he sired 20 Grand, who was, of course, a champion 3-year-old in 1931. Won the Kentucky Derby. Won the Belmont. Ran second in Preakness, so damn near won the Triple Crown. They ran the Preakness before the Derby that year. Mate won it. Mate went stud over here at the Clarkland Farm. And 20 Grand was absolutely sterile. He never sired a foal. Ended up with a gas out. Turned out with a bunch of geldings. Other geldings, and I guess they gilded him to turn him out over here at Greentree Stud. St. German's also sired Bold Venture. He was a champion 3-year-old of his year and won the 1936 Kentucky Derby. And he had fertility problems. He sired Assault. Bo Venture did, of course, who was sterile, never sired a winner. He won the Triple Crown in 1946, won the Derby, beating Spysong and Hampton, won by seven lengths, I believe it was. Bo Venture also sired another Kentucky Derby winner in Middle Graham, and he was also a shy breeder, but he did sire some horses that won. Middle Graham also won the Preakness, ran second in the Belmont, so he almost won the Triple Crown, as of course Assault did. St. German's was the sire of the Rhymer, who was the sire of Vertex. Vertex stood over at Danada Farm out on the old Frankfurt Pike out there. Boy, he was a gorgeous horse, a liver chestnut, not just a drop-dead gorgeous horse, and was a pretty good sire, you know. I bred to him a couple of times. People didn't like him because he was by the Rhymer, but he sired Lucky Debonair, who won the 1965 Kentucky Derby. I saw that one. He got Top Knight, who was a champion 2-year-old of his year. Sired 25 stakes winners. Vertex was, as I said, raced. He was a top flight handicap horse. As a matter of fact, he was the second best handicap horse in the nation in the year that he was really good. That would have been in 1958, I believe, when Round Table was the best handicap horse. But Round Table was competing at that time mostly on the West Coast. Vertex was the best handicap horse in the East. See, Sir German side. A horse named Saint Bardot, who was a very good horse, won the Latonia Championship back when it was a great race. He sired a horse named the Darb, who won the Withers and the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, which was the running today. Sparta, who won the Latonia Oaks. He was the Saint German's was a broodmare sire of Capote, who won the Preakness and the Belmont, and he was sterile. So they all had that Saint German's disease. A lot of them did, anyway. And he sired a real nice handicap horse named First Fiddle. He was a gray horse, by a gray horse. He was by a Royal Minstrel, as well as I can recall. Devil Diver sire went to stud at Greentree and then went over to, ended up over at the Stallion Station out on the Russell Cave Pike, where Kenny McPeak is now. I remember when it was Roseland Farm, and he goes, Grant Dorland had it at Roseland Farm, and then he sold it to Lou Doherty, and Lou Doherty and Harold Snowden ran that as a Stallion Station for many years. And anyway, then who had it after that? The DuPont family. I forget the young man's name, owned it. He stood some stallions there also. And now, of course, Kenny's got it. And very active right over there right
Bill
now.
Bill DuPont,
right. Yeah, thank you, Jackie.
I knew his first wife.
You knew his first wife?
I knew everybody's first wife.
Yeah. He didn't know mine.
That's how old I am. Well, that's true.
She said she knew everybody's first wife. I said, she didn't know mine. Anyway, he sired 18 stakes winners. He was a disappointment at stud. He sired Bo Diablo, who won the Pimlico Cup, the Display Handicap, and the Long Island Handicap. If I'm not mistaken, Bo Diablo ended up at stud in New Zealand. He sired Callover, who won the Salvatore Mile, won the Trenton, Quaker City. A lot of white, won the Grey Lag and the Excelsior. A filly named Devilkin, who was a pretty good filly, won the Comley, Crash Dive. Ruddy was a good filly. She won the Monmouth Oaks and the Prioress. He was a broodmare sire of Native Diver, who was, California's first millionaire. It was a gelding he raced out on the West Coast, who was by Imbros. Imbros had been a real brilliant sprinter racing on the West Coast. Imbros was the son of Polynesian. I'm getting back where I remember these pedigrees now. Anyway, he was Native Diver was one of the most popular horses ever to race in California. Also a brood mare sire of Never Bow, the one of Brooklyn and the Widener, back when the Widener was one of the top handicap horses races in the nation. Make Sale was a really top flight filly. She won the Alabama. Won the top fly. Outer Space won the Mother Goose. So that's a couple of classic winning fillies in Make Seal and Outer Space, who's broodmare sire of these now. Tingle, she won the Ashland out here at Keeneland. I saw her win. She was by Spice on. She had a lot of speed, too. I believe Tingle raced for Mr. Louis Hagen. I believe that's right. I may be wrong. I often am. Delirium, who was out of a Devil Ever Mare, won a Sanford. So was Uppercut. Pointer was the son of the Doge that Jimmy Dryman had at stud over at Gallagher Farm, which is now the training center over there. On as you go out to Russell Cave Road, right across from Dan Scott's place, and right next door to Kenny McPeak's place, as far as that goes, yeah. Pierpontella was out of a Devil Diver Mare. She was by Royal Coinage, who stood at the Stallion Station. I remember that. Keeper's Choice, I always liked that name. But they were all Devil Divers, or outer Devil Divers. They were a pretty good kind of a racehorse. Better than pretty good, I would say. Well, Leosan won Grade 1 Stakes as a 2-year-old. A $290,000 sales yearling trained by Bob Baffert. Didn't take him long to pay for himself. He broke slowly and ran a closing third first time out as a 2-year-old. Then he finished the season with 3 straight wins. Broke his maiden at Santa Anita, going 7 furlongs and won 22-3. Won the Real Quiet Stakes, going around 2 turns at Hollywood Park. And then he won the Grade 1 Cash Gold Futurity, also at Hollywood Park. Leosan was described by Baffert as the closest thing to his sire Indian Charlie that he had seen. Went on to take the Grade 2 Mervyn LeRoy, the Santana Mile, with placings in the Grade 2 Swaps, the Grade 2 Jim Danny, and the Grade 2 California. The Grade 3 Affirmed, and the Del Mar's Harry F. Brubaker Stakes. He earned over $769,000. Now, Leosan's sire, Indian Charlie, has sired the winners of 4 Breeders' Cup races, including another Grade 1 winning 2-year-old that's now standing for $27,500, and that's Uncle Mo. Leosan entered stud for $10,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Also, home also of Into Mischief, sire of Miss Mischief. Winner November 20 of the $100,000 Pearl City Stakes at Aqueduct. And, of course, he's the sire also of Golden Sense. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and he goes today in the Cigar Mile. For more information, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker. I always ask about breeding incentives at Spendthrift Farm, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Telling me that a horse
named... You're not on. It's Sally, isn't it?
No, I'm on.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I thought that they were playing a Sally Band commercial.
No, that was the last commercial.
Oh, okay. Well, Ursel bred a horsey named...
I did not.
No, you didn't?
I didn't breed him. I bought him.
Oh, he bought him. Well, anyway, he named him Wildcat Country.
Yeah.
He was. How long ago?
That was back in the 60s. I bought three Howard Rouse. Howard Rouse bred him. He was the manager of King Ranch at that time. They bought him out of a sale at Keeneland. Hurston Farm was selling him for Howard Rouse. He was gilding because Howard gilded all of his weanlings, colts. Couldn't gild the mares, of course, fillies. But anyway.
That's the only thing that stopped him.
He was a, you probably, I really liked Howard Rouse. He lived in Midway. I mean, he was a fine gentleman. Reminded me a whole lot of my dad. Even looked like my dad. They dressed alike.
How funny.
You know, nice man.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, he had, I don't know why he picked him out to sell him. But he was an, you know, you just couldn't fault him.
Yeah.
And, I had Dr. Chandler look at him also. I had watched him. I always, when I used to buy a yearling every year and fiddle around with it and get him ready to run, sell it, starting way back in the 60s. And, this horse, I just really liked him. He was, by an unpopular horse out of a mare by Better Self, who was an allowance winner.
Yeah.
And her first foal was a full brother that had broke his maiden for $10,000 at Saratoga. His name was Filthy Rich. Isn't that a good name?
Yeah,
Filthy Rich? That's cute.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went back and watched him at the barn, you know, while they were showing him and everything like that. My limit was $3,000. That's about as high I could go. And I was standing there and I was watching him see how he behaved. And, you know, nothing bothered him. And Dr. John Chandler happened to be standing by, you know. So I thought, well, I'll put a little expertise to work.
Yeah.
So I said, John, would you go over and look at this horse? And he said, yeah, I'll go look at him. So he went over and came back. He's all right, Ursula. He's all right. I said, thank you, John. That was the extent of it, you know.
Did he get send you a bill?
No, he didn't send me a bill, bless his heart. I should probably shouldn't mention this. He probably will now.
Yeah.
But anyway, this I bought him out, and I paid the limit.
Yeah.
$3,000. One more bid, and I was out. And it was early in the sale, and I questioned I might have got something better for a little less money later on. But anyway, I paid, you know, forked over my $3,000 and took the horse home. We got him ready to run. Charlie Wise was around here training at the time, and we got him ready to run and sold him before he ran for $13,000.
But you named him.
I named him Wildcat Country.
Yeah.
I was driving down the road and there was a bumper sticker there. It says Wildcat Country. I said, hey, there you are, Kentucky Pride.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I sold him to Tommy Hurd. Tommy took him to New York, put him in for $20,000 claiming, bet his money, and he won.
Yeah.
And they claimed him.
Yeah.
He never ran in another claiming race.
Yeah.
After that. And, I think he, as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, he broke a leg up there and they had to put him down. And, he'd win $146,000, which
was about, a lot of money then.
Back in the 60s, that was a lot of money.
Before Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Dr. Chandler, after that, he was always claimed that he picked that horse up.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there's another one. They've given the name away.
So. Yeah, another Wildcat Country. I did. I saw that, and I don't know who he was by.
I didn't pay attention. I just, you know, I was in the kitchen, and I had HRTV or something on, and I heard, I thought, oh, wait a minute. Did I hear that? You know, because the announcer wasn't all that clear. Went back in, and sure enough.
Yeah.
Wildcat Country.
Yeah, well, he was a nice horse, and he ran in, he started in a couple of stakes up there and never won a place in the stakes, but he was just one of those horses that was, he ran and ran and, you know, and, never ran for a claiming price after that. You know, he was a good racehorse.
Yeah.
Good racehorse. Yeah. I wish I had a barn full of them.
Exactly.
But, you know, well, let's see. I was going to do something on another horse, but I ran out of time. Don't have time to do it. I'll save it for next week.
Who is saving for next week?
I've got Old Hat and I have Bogey. Bo Gay was champion two-year-old filly that year, 1945. She was undefeated up until her last start, and in her last start, she bolted and went through the fence, going down the widener chute up in, at Belmont. Yeah, didn't hurt her, didn't hurt the jockey and everything. There's a picture of her in the book here that I've got of, and she just was rolled over and all four legs up in the air, you know, and the fence, the rail was down. It was a mess, you know. Let me see if I can find it here, the picture, and show it to you real quick. She's a beautiful filly. She was by Stimulus out of Risk, who had been a great producer. And it's a very expensive yearling, and Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr. bred her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and sold her to sales to Elizabeth.
Oh, there's the next page
main,
over.
Main change.
Hold it up. There she is.
No, that's not
the picture. No, that's not it. I'm looking.
Well, they don't show the picture here. Where in the hell did I see the picture?
Huh.
I don't know. But, you know, it's a beautiful pedigree. Well, you can look at it here. I pulled a pedigree on her. Look at the.
Wow.
Risk was the dam of Bull Gay. Skylarking. Skylarking was the champion 2-year-old of his year. Won the Hopeful Bashman Manor in the Alpena Stakes, and he broke down and never ran after two.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was by Blue Larkspur. Danger Point, who was a full sister, a full brother to Bo Gay, both by Stimulus. Little Risk was by Stimulus. Cyclotron.
Is that all the first dam?
Yeah, this is all the first
okay. dam. Okay, that's how you tell a really, 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 really well-bred horse. It's single space, almost two full pages until you get to the second dam. That's how good the first dam is. When you go out to the sales and it's first dam, second dam, most of it's third dam, that ain't much. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, she was a top race filly and went on and won stakes after that, as far as that goes.
Wow.
Bo Gay was. And, you know, she was, let's see, what did she win? Oh, she was a good producer too. Her first foal. They bred her to Jet Pilot. That's interesting, because Jet Pilot was also bred by Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr.
Oh.
You know, so.
Hot hand there. Way to go.
Yeah, because he won the 1947 Kentucky Derby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jet Pilot. He beat Faultless and Phalanx and On Trust and Star Award, that bunch. It was a great race.
Yeah.
But she, Bo Jet's first foal, the Jet Pilot, was with a filly named Chouette. And Chouette won the Skylaville and the Liberty Bell. And she also had Bo Pilot. Chouette was the dam of Bo Pilot, as far as that goes. Was a stakes winner. Timbo was a stakes winner. I think that's the only stakes winner she ever had. But what the hell, one. That's one. That's more than most of them have.
That's right. More of it. Exactly.
Yeah. Stimulus was by Ultimus, who was probably the most intensely bred, inbred horse. Ultimus was by Commando by Domino out of Running Stream by Domino. And Mr. Hal Price Healy had him for stud over at his farm.
So, wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show were trained by Paul Garcia, Tanya Lobsinger, Karen Vecchio, Luis Jurado, Wayne Mackey, and Mike Estes. And I'll tell you, in case you didn't hear me in the first hour, Mike Estes' horse was named Curmudgeon, and he won a starter allowance going 2 1/8 miles down at Mountaineer. And he was bred by the University of Kentucky. So
you said.
I said UK had a winner yesterday. I don't know if they're going to have one today or tomorrow, but anyway, they had one yesterday.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. All right, the show's going up.
Today. Thanks to Lexington Computer Clinic.
All right. Finally took Straight and Jackie out. And we'll be on at the regular time next week. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good day.
Until.